Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul?
What's up, Paul?
Most interactive show, and I really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
Memphis has dethroned the Kings of the American, and the Tigers are on top. 75-65 for the first time in 10 years. Memphis wins a conference tournament championship.
Cougs didn't have Marcus Sasser for that game. They kept him out for precautionary reasons, and it does sound like he's going to be good to go for the Cougs when they open up the tournament this Thursday. But they don't win the AAC title, and I'm guessing that with also Alabama, who beat the Cougs earlier in the year, blowing out Texas A&M is the reason that Alabama is the number one overall seed in the tournament. There's some controversy over the Cougs, I guess, getting to be the one seed in the Midwest, though, because they get it. Kansas didn't. And Kansas is mad about it, even though they got murdered by Texas on Saturday night. I feel like when you get bludgeoned several times, it's not that big of a deal to be the one seed not in your home region. I guess they wanted to play in Kansas City.
That's what it was. They just wanted to play the Elite Eight in Kansas City.
Would it have been a really strong home court advantage?
Yeah, Kansas cannot lose in Kansas City except for against Texas on Saturday.
Gotcha. Okay.
But the next time they play in Kansas City,
it'll be different.
Definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Because they're Kansas.
I think we make a big deal out of where the games are played in the tournament, and we probably shouldn't. I don't know. That's just me. But Kansas is mad. And Seth Davis, who I find to be the most annoying person talking about college basketball, shut up with the Sharpie thing. He does this thing online where whenever somebody wins that wasn't supposed to, he tweets out Sharpie. I don't get it. It's become his shtick. His other shtick is trying to keep our beloved Cougs down in the tournament.
For Houston, I hope they get to Houston for the Final Four. I do not see the case for Houston over Kansas on the overall seed line. Why do we care? Because if Kansas is in this spot, Kansas is going to Kansas City. Now they have to go to one of the other two regions. Kansas had 10 more quad one wins and a much harder strength of schedule. I'm rooting for the Cougars. I love you guys, but I would have had Kansas.
No, he doesn't. What are you talking about at the very end of that? Yep, Kansas is in the better conference. That's, I guess, the argument that Seth Davis was making. But what's really funny is Davis tried to make this argument to somebody on the tournament committee. This guy's name is Chris Reynolds. He's the NCAA selection committee chair. And it's kind of funny to hear Seth Davis get stuffed in a locker after a very long explanation.
Kansas had the number one overall strength of schedule compared to 9-6. They both lost their conference finals. They both had injuries. Kansas didn't have their coach. Why Houston over Kansas?
Well, when you look at Houston, combined 15-2 in the quad 1-2, compared to Kansas 21-7 in the quad 1-2. And Houston, they were competitive in all their games that they lost, except for today. And we understand today they were out their best player. And so for that reason, we kept Houston at number two.
I think Kansas believes that since Bill Self was in the hospital on Saturday, that should be, I guess, looked at the same way as the Cougs being without Marcus Sasser against Memphis. I don't know. I really do think it's semantics when we're talking about like the second number one seed overall, I don't think that this is going to give Kansas that much of a disadvantage. And I'll also say this. Look, I love this Cougar team. They have a gear of effort, especially defensively, that makes me embarrassed that the Houston Rockets play basketball in this city, because the Cougars are way better on that side of things than a professional basketball team that's being paid to play basketball, whatever. The problem for the Cougars is what you saw yesterday. And okay, maybe if Marcus Sasser's in that game, things are a little bit better. But this team finds itself in such ugly lulls offensively, and they have almost zero ability to move the ball around in those lulls. And I think there was a stretch where they were 7-24 from the field. I want to say this was in the early second half. That was what their numbers were. This is what concerns me about the Cougars, and why I think that they're not necessarily a lock to even make it to the Sweet 16. I know that's a weird thing to say, but the ability that they have in a bad way to just completely go dark offensively. I don't know how you overcome that for six straight games. You know, like, yes, you can rebound with the best of them. You can play defense with the best of them, but there are some moments where they can't shoot from outside. They can't hit any shots from the free throw line, and the ball just looks confusing. I don't know what they're doing on offense. A lot. And you saw it against Memphis. And yes, you can definitely point to Marcus Sasser as an issue. You could also point to this as being a much-needed wake-up call for the Cougars. But I think in all of the games that they have struggled this year, you have seen the issues where they don't sit on leads the way that they should because of poor free-throw shooting and an offense that seems to get stagnant during the most important moments of a game. And when they play teams that are better than the Memphises of the world, nothing against Memphis. Memphis is a good basketball team. They're not going to be able to get away with things the way that they did the last time they had played Memphis, where they won on that buzzer beater at the very end of the game. A Twitch comment from Coug Blaze. They shot 31% yesterday and only lost by 10. But can't you see them shooting 31% again? That's the thing. This isn't a one-time thing with the Cougs. It's not. This is a basketball team that offensively, I think, is limited at times. That's the criticism that I think is fair for a number one team for much of the year, but a team that lost it in that number one spot a couple of times. They lost, of course, to Alabama. Alabama's been playing great. I mean, I know that they lost to Texas A&M, but the way that they kicked Texas A&M's ass yesterday in the SEC championship game, that was really impressive. For all you want to say about Brandon Miller and Nate Oates and the way that they have handled it from a public relations perspective, they have not been distracted in the slightest. And they deserve to get the number one seed overall. But for the Cougars, there are some concerns that you should have. I don't think I'm being controversial in any way in saying that, and I think a lot of you guys agree with me there. I am just hoping that they're able to clean some of this stuff up for the next couple of games. It just feels like it's going to happen sooner rather than later, and they're not going to be able to overcome it if it's, say, like in the Elite Eight or on the way to the Final Four.
Yeah, when you junk it up the way that they do and you don't have the consistent offense, and maybe having Sasser back in there, that is what happened on Saturday, right? But on Sunday. But that, I mean, that's been a theme throughout the year with the Cougs. So when you play the kind of junk it up, it's always going to be a tight game. You're only going to score like 45 points. You're just you're going to be in a lot of close games, and in the tournament, that's what gets you beat.
Right, close games. You're so right, Sean. I mean, a close game against some who the hell are they school can end poorly for you. And I think we got to hold the Cougs up to a very high standard. The Final Four's here. They were the number one team for much of the year. And they have not played the slate that Kansas has played. And other teams like that, Alabama too, I think you can make a strong argument, has played a tougher schedule. It's the problem of the conference that they're in. you can't control the conference that you're in. You can only play the teams that you have on your schedule. But those teams, I think, have learned to adapt and improvise in spots where maybe things aren't working out for them in a way that I don't think the Cougars quite have. And that's why I think it's going to be so valuable for them to be in the Big 12 next year. I just wish that this number one overall team for much of the season was in the Big 12 this year. Because I would feel a lot better about their chances to get all the way through. You know, iron sharpens iron. And the AAC isn't bad, but it's not the Big 12. The Big 12 is the best conference in college basketball. Wouldn't you want to see them go up against Baylor, who's a 3 seed? TCU, who's a 6 seed? Yeah, yeah, you would. We'll see what happens. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and text in as well. You can join on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Poor Marine says, Paul is trying to be Jeremy today. Look, sports talk radio, you know what happens in it? There's criticism. Now, some markets can't handle it, like the one where I went to college, where they just fired a longtime talk show host because I guess he was too negative about Jim Boeheim and Syracuse basketball. And it has my blood boiling today, but this is how it works, guys. What, you want me to come in and play the recorder and dance along to the University of Houston Cougars who did not win the AAC conference tournament? No, I'm not going to do that. Like, you saw the things that we've been seeing all year long that we have brought up to you all year long. We like this team a lot. We're rooting for this team, no doubt about it. But that wasn't a good game.
Yeah, and again, you're the number one team most of the year. You're going to be a 1 seed.
Yeah.
Like, there's pressure that comes with that. We're going to hold you to a higher standard than we hold the 7 seeded whoever. You know, like, that just comes with the territory of being this good and this great of a program.
He's Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. I think we're all on the same page. The two of us, we agree on this. The Cougs.
Final Four or bust, yes.
We want them to be in the Final Four. It'll be a successful season if they make it to the Final Four this year. I don't think it's a failure if they don't win the national title. And the tournament is so wacky, you never know what's going to happen. I think the expectation should be for them to get to the Elite Eight. After that, who honestly knows? This tournament is so damn weird every single year. But there are some real concerns about why they might not be able to get there. And I'm not going to lose my mind if they don't get there either. I mean, we have seen the reasons that they might not get there. You saw it again yesterday. Paul Gallant Show up next. Seeing as we have to apologize to Bears general manager, excuse me, Sean doesn't have to apologize. I have to apologize to Bears general manager Ryan Poles. Who are other figures in sports that the Paul Gallant Show and you listening need to apologize to? Paul Gallant Show, 713-780-3776 to call in. To text in as well. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Houston's most interactive and possibly radioactive sports talk show continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Twitter is a terrible place for online discourse. It's just a terrible place, period. Everyone speaks in hyperbole, and I would say in the realm of conversation about the Texans, it's just a bunch of Don Quixotes beating the bleep out of straw men, like every single day. This person has this opinion? Oh, wait till I get at them. And, you know, going into the weekend on Friday, I'm getting my drink on. I'm making myself a Mezcal Paloma and about to go to the rodeo to go see the Chainsmokers on Friday. And I remember everyone was freaking out about the possibility of Jimmy Garoppolo being a Houston Texan. As if, like, this means that the organization is a bunch of dumbasses. And I just don't understand why people have this kind of energy for this. Whether he's on or off the roster, that does not affect what the Houston Texans are going to do with that second overall pick. They're going to take a quarterback with that second overall pick. They're probably trying to flex otherwise. And say they don't take a quarterback with that second overall pick. Okay, then we could maybe start yelling about the Houston Texans and why they didn't take a quarterback with that second overall pick. But the mere interest that the Houston Texans have in Jimmy Garoppolo, a guy who played for a team that had D'Amico Ryans as its defensive coordinator, a guy that Nick Caserio drafted. The idea that they would go after him being a bad thing for the Houston Texans, to me, is confusing. I think everyone needs to settle down, go get some... Is it legal here? It's decriminalized here. You need to puff a little magic dragon and calm the bleep down, okay? If you're freaking out about the possibility of Jimmy Garoppolo coming to the Houston Texans, you need to chill. Probably would be good for whatever young quarterback comes in here to not immediately be thrown into the fire and get destroyed behind an offensive line that's dealing with some issues. Kenyon Green had to have arthroscopic surgery over the last couple of weeks. Is he going to be 100% for the start of the year? Who are you going to have as your center? There's some guy from the 49ers that Texans are supposedly interested in. All I'm trying to say is relax when it comes to Jimmy Garoppolo. If he's on the roster next season, that's better than Davis Mills. No one wants to watch Davis Mills ever again. Jimmy G isn't a world beater by any means. He is better than Davis Mills. And I will take anyone over Davis Mills. I will take Brian Hoyer over Davis Mills. Give me a Patriot retread and I'd probably say yes. Hell, maybe I'd even say yes to Ryan Mallett. Honestly, at this point, I'll do anything other than watch Davis Mills again. I'm done with it. And some of you guys are like, oh, but if they get Jimmy Garoppolo, they're only going to go with Jimmy Garoppolo. No, they're not. They're not. Stop.
Also, how familiar are you with Jimmy Garoppolo's health record where it's like, chances are if he plays an entire season, it'll be the first time he's done that in like 5 years.
Exactly. You have a quarterback to be a meat shield for a bit of time before the young guy comes in who they draft with that second pick.
Either he's going to get benched after week 4 or week 6 or whatever, like every team does, where, we're not starting our rookie day one, but we'll start him in October. Or he's just going to break his foot in week 3 and then...
Yeah, what hasn't he broken at this point?
We need the thing where they put up the x-ray and they circle all the different injuries.
He's had a lot. He has had a lot. And there have been questions. I don't know if they're fair or not, but I remember coming out of the Patriots locker room, there were questions about his toughness back in the day. I'm like, that's kind of a damning indictment on a quarterback. Hopefully that was just a bunch of slander. But we'll see. Anyway. I don't want to continue to talk about Jimmy Garoppolo. I just think that some people online need to relax. Twitter is terrible. There's this idea that like, oh, there's people pushing for Jimmy Garoppolo to be the starting quarterback next season. No one is saying that. No one is saying that anywhere.
Yeah, they need a veteran quarterback.
They do.
They need some sort of veteran quarterback. Yes. And Jimmy Garoppolo is the best of the bunch, and he's still not that good.
The quarterbacks on the roster last year were Davis Mills, Kyle Allen, and Jeff Driscoll, okay? You're turning your nose up at Jimmy Garoppolo after that. What is wrong with you? Oh, it'll be a disaster if they bring him in. You guys are overreacting constantly. It's online discourse about the Houston Texans. It's like navigating through toddlers, like yelling at each other about like stupid dinosaur takes. Like, oh, T-Rex is better than a Brontosaurus. You know, like that's what I feel like.
That's just a fact.
That's what I feel like I'm wandering through every single time. Okay. I got to apologize to Ryan Poles, the general manager of the Chicago Bears. I got to apologize. I did not think that the market that he was trying to create for that number one overall pick that the Chicago Bears had and traded successfully to the Carolina Panthers, they swap first round picks. They get Carolina's 9th overall pick. They get 2 second round picks. They get another first round pick. They get wide receiver DJ Moore. It was a hell of a deal by Ryan Poles. Now, they're not going to get a Will Anderson or a Jalen Carter necessarily now that they've moved to the 9 spot. Those are the guys who are thought to be the two best non-quarterback prospects. But they got a big haul and they got a very good, capable wide receiver in DJ Moore to help a Justin Fields out. So I got to apologize to Ryan Poles. I did not think that he had anywhere close to the leverage that he claimed he did to get the kind of haul that he did. So I'm sorry. I am sorry, Ryan Poles. I was bullying him.
Sorry.
I'm so sorry. I'm so, so sorry. Okay? And there's a lot of sensitive Bear fans out there. And look, you guys can put this up next to that Super Bowl that you won in 1986 is like another championship for your franchise. Because you are a bunch of losers. You play in a dump of a stadium. The McCaskies are never going to have that organization successful. And a couple of years from now, you might be looking at Justin Fields and thinking to yourself, oh, wait, maybe we should have kept the number one overall pick. But hey, take it where you can get it. Congratulations on winning your trade. I'm sorry.
We're sorry.
I'm so sorry, Bears fans. I'm sorry for you because, you know, your life is miserable. But I'm also sorry for questioning Ryan Poles, general manager, 37 years old, able to get that trade off.
We're sorry.
In his second year, no doubt. Excuse me, second year, no less.
Also, no doubt. It's definitely a second year.
It is definitely a second year. You're right on that front, Sean. So now the Houston Texans are in that number two spot. Is it too late to be mad at somebody? There was conversation over the weekend about whether or not this is truly Nick Caserio's fault that the Houston Texans are drafting second overall instead of first overall. I just don't subscribe to the idea that this is 100% on Caserio. I suppose that he could have told Lovie Smith that Brandon Cooks and Davis Mills were inactive for that season finale against the Colts, which the Colts won. Check that. Which the Texans won. I don't know why I said that the Colts won. The Colts should have won it, but they forgot to intercept that pass that went right through their hands and into the hands of Brandon Cooks for that touchdown at the very end of the game. I don't think that it's Caserio's fault here, but a lot of people over the weekend were saying, man, I mean, Nick Caserio really screwed this up. Huh? I don't know. I mean, you're going to get either Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. Isn't that a pretty good place to be in? It's not the ideal place to be in, but it sounds like the Texans want Young and like the Panthers want Stroud, so you might be fine at the end of all of this. You might still get your guy, even despite being in that second spot. Like, this could have worked out perfectly for you. If C.J. Stroud is all of a sudden the favorite to be drafted first overall, isn't that good? Like, do you want, if you had your pick between C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young, would you take Stroud over Young? Young's way more consistent. Stroud lost two games with Ohio State against Michigan. I think that should be held against him. Pretty strongly held against him. That doesn't happen. How many times has Ohio State beaten Michigan in a row? Like, over the last two decades, it's been an incredibly one-sided rivalry considering how hyped it is. Sort of like the NFL version, the college football version of the NFL's like Packers and Bears. Oh, there's lots of history. Great. It's from a while ago. A lot longer ago with the Packers and the actual Bears. So I think when we look at who's at fault here for the situation that the Texans are in, I think it's really the fault of the Texans trying in the last game of the season. And I have no problem with it. I don't think having the number one overall pick guarantees you anything. And I suppose it makes your job a little bit more easy, but it doesn't sit right with me to see a general manager tell his coach, hey, don't play your best players the last game of a season. I just think it's morally wrong.
And to me, like, this trade doesn't change anything about how you feel about the last game of the season, because the Texans weren't going to trade out of the number one pick. They're going to just sit there and pick either Stroud or Young or Levis or Richardson. Like, they weren't going to get this trade because they weren't going to look to trade it.
Right.
So this, like, the fact that the Bears got DJ Moore in a first round pick, that doesn't matter.
You wouldn't want to trade out of this spot if you're the Texans, because
no, you just draft the quarterback.
Yes. Draft the quarterback.
And everyone at the time was like, man, they blew their chance at getting Bryce Young. And now, like you said, CJ Stroud's the favorite to go number one. You might just still get your guy.
Right. Frank Reich is the one who wants Stroud. I think that Frank Reich went to Carolina with the idea that he's going to get to pick the quarterback, finally, because he hasn't had the opportunity to do that. David Tepper might want Bryce Young, and Tepper seems to be rather impatient and not the best owner to this point, based off of the Matt Rhule contract and a lot of other things that the Panthers have done over the last couple of seasons. But I think that if Frank Reich wants to draft a specific quarterback, he is going to get to pick that specific quarterback. And the rumor is that he wants C.J. Stroud. So there you go. Paul Galacho, ESPN 975-925-713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You can get after us on Twitter at Gallant Says. Christian Javier is pitching right now in the World Baseball Classic. I'm still mad at Hector Neris. What do we do to punish Hector Neris for almost killing Jose Altuve? Seriously, I think he's got to be suspended the first 10 games of the season. You got a better punishment for him, Paul Galacho. But first, I got to tell you about my friends at TGS Insurance. Because if you own your home, you need to listen up and grab that phone. Our friends at TGS Insurance are about to deliver you big savings, and you won't even have to talk to an agent because you're paying too much for your home insurance, but you don't shop for better rates because it's a huge hassle. Not a hassle anymore, thanks to TGS Insurance and their new system that instantly shops over 3 dozen carriers and gives you a full quote in just 15 seconds using nothing but a single text message. And you'll probably save a bunch of money along the way. So text 232323, the word money, to 232323. Their system will ask you for your address. You send it back. You'll get your full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. Again, the word money to 232323. This company and the savings are legit. Their online rating is nearly perfect, and their average customer from 2021 is saving over $870 on their home insurance. No one likes to shop for home insurance, but TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been. You're one text message away from massive savings. So one more time, text money to 232323 and get your home insurance quote to save big today.
You are listening to...
Hey! Yeah, you! You better be listening to ESPN 97.5. And don't you dare turn that down!
ESPN 97.5. 97.5. You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776 to call, to text in as well. The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. I just said that twice because that's how interactive it is. You can join us on Twitch. You can also get after us on Twitter, 713-780-3776. A texter, as a Buckeye fan, our defense lost those games, not C.J. Stroud. Stay in your lane. Oh, he didn't throw two interceptions against Michigan? He didn't do that? Huh. Interesting. Come on, he didn't play that well in that game. You know it. I know it. He played great in the college football playoff, but did he play well against Michigan? Ohio State fans, man, there's such a sense of self that they carry themselves with. Another texter says, shut your mouth. I think it's signed Tucker. Y-E-R-M-O-U-F. How about that? Hey, what are we going to do about Hector Neris? Hector Neris in the World Baseball Classic game between the Dominican Republic and Venezuela threw two balls at Jose Altuve's head. Two! I don't want Hector Neris back on this team. I feel like that is a very fair and reasonable take to have. It's one thing if it was just once, right? If a ball just got away from him. Twice? Twice? Huh. The second time, I mean, that's a crime. That's what Johnny Cochran would say. RIP. The second time, it is a crime. Suspended for 10 games. That's what they traditionally do with relief pitchers, right? I hate that that happened. And I also just really would like the Houston Astros to not get injured at the World Baseball Classic. Christian Javier right now is pitching for the Dominican Republic. I don't want him using his innings against the Dominican Republic. Excuse me, for the Dominican Republic. I want him to be pitching for the Houston Astros because that's my nationalism, baby. That is the country that I live in. That is the country that I play for. Orange and blue. And sometimes Tequila Sunrise. Although they don't wear the Tequila Sunrise jerseys anymore, which also makes no sense. I mean, don't you want to sell jerseys? Don't you want to get your merchandise up? Why not?
He sometimes wears the Space City blue.
I hate those uniforms. I really don't like them. It doesn't even look like the guys in... you could have made them all orange so that they look like the guys in Armageddon. We could have them slowly walking onto the field while Aerosmith plays, you know, that hit song.
Don't want to miss the thing.
Although he's canceled now.
He is?
Steven Tyler got canceled recently.
Did not know that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Basically, like, for completely admitting to having a relationship with, like, a teenager, which he, like, basically, like, took who he took on the road.
Huh?
Yeah.
That'll do it.
That'll do it. That's for sure. But, you know, I don't want to close my eyes. Don't want to miss a thing because I miss you, baby. And I don't want to miss a thing. I think those are the lyrics of the song. But, yeah, they could have worn all orange, and they have this, like, weird, like, blue look. Come on. That's not the way it's supposed to look.
Steven Tyler confessed to crimes of passion with 16-year-old in his own memoir.
Why would you do that? First off, the 16-year-old thing. Weird. You're Steven Tyler. You can get anybody you want. A 16-year-old. Second, why do you write about it? What are you doing? Weird. Anyway, had I stayed in high school in Massachusetts, I actually would have been in the same grade as one of Steven Tyler's daughters. But I ended up going to high school in Florida, so that never actually happened. As far as other news across baseball and specific to the World Baseball Classic, the U.S. lost to Mexico yesterday. And I'm sorry, I'm only going to have emotions about the World Baseball Classic if the U.S. loses. And we lost to Mexico? And we gave up 11 runs to Mexico, and we couldn't outscore Mexico? Don't we have, like, maybe we're not the best country, right? Maybe we're not the Dominican Republic as far as all the teams in the World Baseball Classic. But I don't know. Shouldn't we be better than Mexico? I would think that we have more talent than every single country except for the Dominican Republic. And it's not just to lose to Mexico. You lose 11-5 to Mexico? I don't know. Who's in charge of Team USA? Who's the manager? We going to fire him?
Mark DeRosa.
Yeah, who's that?
Out of here.
What? Put Dusty Baker in charge. Although Dusty Baker does need to be in charge of the Astros. And we don't want the World Baseball Classic interfering with his sleep habits. Because he's saying that he was watching the World Baseball Classic, but he fell asleep while watching the game between Venezuela and the Dominican Republic, but not before he saw Hector Neris almost kill Jose Altuve twice. You know, can't do it. You just can't do it. And as far as the circle of non-trust for the Houston Astros, I've got Hector Neris in it. I've got Rafael Montero in it. Is there anybody that's in the field that we have in there? Oh, yeah. I don't want to see Jake Meyers anymore. I've said this before. Guy keeps on getting pitch clock violations because he steps out of the batter's box as much as he does. And, I mean, I don't know what it is that he brings to the table to help the Houston Astros out. What is it? What is it that he's good at? Anyway, Paul Galancho, ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call or text into the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. The good news for the Houston Astros, it does seem like some of the banged up guys are getting closer and closer to being ready to go. But what does that even mean with Lance McCullers, who played catch and threw the ball 30 times? Yordan Alvarez hit soft toss in the batting cage. He said he felt good. There's an element with Yordan Alvarez, though, where you just got to wonder whenever he talks about the injuries, like, wait, does he know what's going on? Does he know which hand is hurt? Does he know how good each hand feels at this point in time? It's one of those weird things where
his hand injuries are, like, the weirdest.
Right.
Like, I'm actually still not really clear what was hurt and when, and then he came back and was awesome in the wild card round, or
yeah,
the division, or, well, ALDS. Yeah, and I just don't understand. I am man enough to admit I do not understand what's going on with Yordan Alvarez's hands and why they're still hurt.
Ocho Texto just twitched in Kawhi Alvarez. Hey, that's unfair. That's unfair.
He needs like two more years of this.
I think this
to get the Kawhi stint.
Kawhi McCullers is closer, but even that is, I think, extreme.
Zion Alvarez.
No, because Zion's seemingly out of shape. That's why his injuries seemingly happen, right? He's just a massive human being.
Yeah, I was just thinking that they're both big guys that get hurt all the time.
If it's your hand getting hurt all the time, I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's not like weight related,
right? Like, where
it is weird.
It's strange. And we don't know the specifics. I think we were listening. I was listening on the way out of East River 9 on Friday. That was an awesome place. I was listening to Patrick and Jeremy talking about like Jordan, and I know that the Killer Bees have brought up the I guess whether or not the Astros have like done surgeries on players before, and I guess they like don't generally do surgeries. They kind of just let it play out. And I'm not a doctor, but I am curious as to if there's something that could actually be done so that this isn't constantly recurring.
So you're opinion on this is like, hey, let's fix this.
Yes.
Okay.
What a strong take, huh?
Yeah.
This is the takes that get me the big bucks.
Hey, wait. He needs his hands to swing a baseball bat.
It would help.
Fix that.
Margobot says Jordan Pierre Paul. He hasn't been playing with fireworks that we know of. He doesn't have three fingers. Okay. The craziest part about Pierre Paul blowing off his hand is that, like, he's actually been pretty good since that happened.
Yeah. You don't need all your fingers to play D-line.
He's caught some interceptions.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Another text. Jordan Fuller. This is ridiculous. You guys are, like, just roasting. Jordan Alvarez won the World Series, and you guys are like, yeah. Here's a bunch of players in Houston sports history that got hurt all the time. I guess keep that coming if you want to be a bunch of sarcastic jerks. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show with Paul Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring Paul Gallant alongside special guest Paul Gallant. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The occasionally toxic Twitch has been on one today. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. I can't even repeat half of what they've said today. It would be one thing if we were the most interactive sports talk show in Houston and could read everything that they wrote, but good God, today, you guys are on one. My hat, proverbial hat, is off to you. I'm going to take a strange turn on this show to talk about something that has me concerned about this industry as a whole. And it has to do with something that took place in a city that I used to live in, a city that I went to school in. So there was an announcement yesterday that a guy by the name of Brent Axe, who is somebody who writes at Syracuse's local newspaper's website, the Syracuse Post-Standard, and also hosts a show at the ESPN radio affiliate in town, his show is no more. And it would be one thing if this was just a sports radio firing because it happens. It's happened to me twice. People get got in sports radio all the time, and it's generally not a big deal to the average person who listens. Some people will be disappointed when a host goes. Others will be thrilled. Generally, all of them are going to forget about that person not too long after that person's out of a job. I don't have a problem with that element of it. I have a problem with the reasoning, though, for this firing, because it is something that I think is becoming more and more common these days. And when it happens in sports media, I know it's not different than any other institution in that you have corporate partners and team partners and things like that you're supposed to protect relationships with. But this is what the person in charge of that radio station, Ed Levine, had to say about why he fired Brent Axe. I don't get why he made these details public, because I feel like he is suing him for doing his job. Levine said this: I had a problem with the content of the show. I'm an SU fan. I'm sorry, but I bleed orange. I'm not going to apologize for that. And I think a fair reading of the orange is appropriate. We have a business relationship. Coach Jim Boeheim and I are personal friends, and he's an investor in my company. He thought that the show had become too negative towards Syracuse University sports. And we're talking about during a time where Syracuse football has been bad. Maybe not this past season, but the year before, bad. Syracuse basketball has been bad. They haven't been ranked in 4 years. And Syracuse lacrosse has even been bad. Every sport at my school is bad. So if you live in a city where all the sports teams at the local school are bad, you're probably going to talk about all the bad. Because that's what you're supposed to do in sports talk radio. You're supposed to be critical. And I don't know if the average listener tunes in to hear good things about their teams. But if all of a sudden people are getting got for just being critical of a whiny, cantankerous, diva, old, stuck in his ways, fossil of a head coach in Jim Boeheim, who's 78 years old, had an assistant on his coaching staff that was possibly a child predator, who had, on top of that, an incident where he killed someone while driving a car. Was he at fault? I honestly don't know. But there are so many things that are negative headlines associated with Jim Boeheim, the head coach, former head coach of Syracuse basketball, to the point where when he was sent off on his way last week, did I praise him? No, I kind of said, when you become an a-hole, no one really cares when you leave. So don't become that guy. This guy goes, and guess what? A week later, so does the guy who is most critical of him on local radio. And I see this, and I guess I shudder for myself and for the future of this industry, because sports talk radio, yes, it's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be conversational. You're supposed to talk about things that people that listen to you care about. But when a team is bad, they should be criticized by the local media. In fact, they should be destroyed. I think sometimes we are way, way, way too polite with the way that we criticize some of the dumbass teams that play nearby. You should have a high standard for these products that you're paying tons of money to go watch a game at, or spending hours of your life watching on a regular basis to get some sort of escape. If that escape doesn't give you any happiness, then you would hope that this person who is covering this team professionally is going to be able to share with everybody how you should feel about this. Brent Axe is one of many people who has dared to criticize a little mini dictator living in some BS small town that's run entirely by the college. And he was negative about a guy who underachieved the last couple of years, and he's out of a job because of it. And the guy who fired him says, oh, it's because he was too negative. It is just beyond soft. And I'm embarrassed. Like, I'm embarrassed I lived there. I'm embarrassed I went to school there. I really am. I mean, imagine you go to this school because you want to learn how to become a sports journalist, sports talk show host. And while you're there, you are told that being even remotely critical of a guy who is past his prime and should have been out of a job a couple of years ago is going to result in you losing your job. How can you feel good about this industry at all? Why would you want to be a part of it when you're not going to get paid bleep and you're going to get yelled at by suits for being questioning of a team, not destroying them like they should be? That team, that school makes so much money from every single person who goes there based off of just tuition. They have tons of money because it's a private school to do whatever they want. And they're sensitive about someone who's critical of the bad basketball team and the sometimes bad football team and the basketball, the women's basketball team with a coach who also had his own scandal and had to leave the program last year. Like, there are so many things going on there. And I know I'm probably boring you with these details. All I'm saying is I'm pissed off that a guy got fired for being too negative about the bad sports teams in his town. And I suppose that's just the way that sports media is going to go in the near future. But people want honesty. They want people who tell it like it is. And the bosses are terrified because they're all in bed with people who are giving them money. But I don't understand why these people that are giving them money are so sensitive. All press is good press. If you're even being talked about, that's great. Didn't the Texans find that out the hard way this past year? I know a lot of you guys hate it whenever we even bring up the Houston Texans. I don't blame you. But if the team's bad, hey, if you're being talked about, at the very least, you're still being talked about. You haven't completely been you know, removed from the consciousness. So that story troubles me. Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, it's time for some garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
Ah, I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
The St. Louis Battlehawks of the XFL had their XFL opener this past weekend. Pretty crazy that it took them this long to have their first home game. Guess how many people were in attendance? 38,310 people. That is a marked difference from the last game that we saw the Houston Roughnecks play against Orlando, where it looked like there were five people there. And I think what they did is they moved the entirety of the crowd over to one side of the stadium so it looked like the stadium was full. The things that they used to do back in the day with the AFL when it was competing against the NFL to make it seem like people were actually there. But it makes me feel bad for St. Louis. And I think we all should be very sensitive and empathetic towards teams that have had towards cities that have had their team stolen from underneath them. Obviously, we saw that happen here with the Oilers. As someone who worked in Seattle had that happen with the Supersonics. And St. Louis lost the Rams in what was clearly a bad faith operation by Stan Kroenke, who moved the team to LA and was constantly, along with the rest of the National Football League, working to move that team to Los Angeles no matter what. They wanted to leave St. Louis. I feel bad for them. Hey, showing up for an XFL game like that, props to them. They are at the very least trying to get a team back in town.
Yeah, you can tell the hunger that still is there for football.
Right.
Of any sort.
Any sort. That's a lot. 38,000 people. I hope that they do get a team back at some point. Tyreek Hill is really fast, but I would have assumed that people in USA track and field would have been faster than him. He ran a 60-yard dash against a bunch of other, I guess, professional sprinters, and he destroyed them. You know, 60 yards, it's longer than 40 yards, obviously, but it's not 100 meters. And if you see races that are 100-meter races, generally by the end there will be some separation between the person who comes in first and the person who comes in last. But over 60 yards, the amount of separation between Tyreek Hill and the next fastest person was really embarrassing for USA Track and Field. Hill might be that fast, but holy crap, Sean.
Yeah, so he was competing in the 25 to 26 age group of the Track and Field Masters Indoor Championships, and he said it was going to be a one-time thing.
Yeah. I mean, why would you want to do it again?
Although I will say, I don't think those are the top-of-the-line U.S. sprinters. Like, a lot of those guys look like me out there. Like, I don't know if those were I don't know if those are the guys we're sending to the Olympics.
Oh, okay, fair enough. That would make sense then, if they all looked like Sean Mapes out there. So Sean Mapes raced against Tyreek Hill, and Sean Mapes did not win.
It looked like if I were actually to race him. Yeah, so he ran a 60 meters in 6.7 seconds, and the world record is 6.34. So he's pretty far off the world record.
Okay.
So that means those guys were running 7 seconds.
One last one before we hit the road, Sean. The Oscars were last night. Did anyone get slapped?
Not to my knowledge.
Who cares? Paul Gallant Show, that's going to wrap it up. Up next, we got the Killer Bees. So long, farewell, have yourselves a wonderful Monday. We'll be back at it tomorrow. Peace!
Sorry.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save.